Good morning, everyone. There was a man who was sitting at breakfast table and reading his paper, and his wife came up and rubbed his shoulder and said, "I bet you don't know what today is." He replied, "Of course I know what today is." And he went back to his paper, but all along he was thinking, "What is today? Is it a birthday? What is it?" And he got to the office and ordered a large bouquet of flowers and had them delivered to the house. And then he thought, and he says, "Well, what if it's our anniversary?" So he runs down to the corner jeweler and bought a nice tennis bracelet and had it delivered especially to his wife. And then on the way home, and just in case, he picked up a box of fine chocolates. And he drove into the driveway at home, and his wife came running out of the house, and he gave her the chocolates. She threw her arms around his neck and said, "This is the best Groundhog Day I've ever had." Being prepared is important. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is giving another parable. This time, he's using the illustration of a wedding. Outside the analogies of money, Jesus uses marriage numerous times as an illustration of the kingdom of God. First, I want you to understand that this parable is in context of a Jewish wedding in that time. We do things differently today. And in those times, there was a period of betrothal. That period took place for about a year before the actual ceremony. It is actually a contract made up between the two families. In fact, the two are legally married, but they have not yet lived together. It's almost like being married and engaged at the same time, if you can imagine that. That's why when Joseph was betrothed to Mary and she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Joseph's first reaction was to divorce her as they were already betrothed. Well, when the day of the ceremony came, the bridegroom would come for the bride at an unannounced time in the evening. And the bride and the bridesmaids had to be ready so that they could escort the bride to the wedding feast. They had their lamps ready to light the way along the path in the night. They had the oil that was needed to fill those lamps. And this parable has three main points regarding that. The first point is, in fact, to be ready. Point two is readiness is an individual act. And the third point is there will be an end to it. We hear a lot about being ready. But what is it, really? Readiness here in this parable begins with knowing Jesus. Notice I didn't say knowing who he is, but knowing him. Here's how I want to illustrate this. I want all of you who are married and with your spouse this morning to look at them. Now, I know you've done this before. Look at them. Now, think back to when you first decided to get married. I want you to think about the first time, if it did happen, that you introduced each other to your parents, if you go back that far. And you told them of your intentions. Guys, if you ask the Father, think about that moment. I've told some of you at times that when I asked my father-in-law if I could have his daughter's hand in marriage, he asked me, "Which one?" I'll never forget that moment. Now you've approached the parents. Suppose your in-laws give you a book on your spouse's life up to that point. Everything you wanted to know about your spouse from birth until that point. It's a great book, filled with stories of laughter and joy, sadness, and even hurts at times. Nothing is left out for you to know about your spouse. So now you go to your separate ways. You have your book. You're married. And you know all about her or him. That is what marriage would be for you for the rest of your life. You will have that book. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? You're thinking, "Well, that's not marriage. That's not what I want. I want to get to know him or her. I want to share my life with this person. I want to share my dreams. I want to raise a family, or I want to be in a relationship with this person." Having that book would be nice. It'll tell us a lot. and we can share about it and we can learn from it. But a marriage is based on a relationship between a man and a woman as God has designed it to be. Well, people of God, that is what God is saying to the church. Look, I have given you my word. This is my history. This is who I am. This is how I've chosen to reveal myself to you. This is how much I love you. You can see how it all began and how I have strived to love the people that I have created. You can see how I have set into motion a path by which you can come and be back with me. You can see how my son Jesus took your sins upon a cross, an ultimate sacrifice to bring you back to me. And God is saying, I want this so bad. I want to be in a relationship now with you. I want you to know me, not just know about me. Knowing Christ is to receive him. And in return, his spirit is released into us. So readiness begins with acknowledging that we can have a real relationship with Christ, not just knowing about him. Knowing about Christ will not get us into heaven any more than the five of those virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming, but they did nothing. So first we have to recognize who Jesus is. It is not just stories about him. He is alive and well by his spirit. We can have that relationship as well. He is knocking on every heart that will receive him. And that brings us to the second point of the parable. No one can get ready for you. You have to get ready yourself. I think most of you know what preparation of a skydiver is. When a skydiver gets ready to do a jump, there is a lot of preparation that takes place. Well, there's a true story that of an experienced skydiver, a photographer in Orlando during the mid-80s who had made over 800 jumps in his career. And on this particular day, he was doing a jump that was one of his dream jumps and photographing a group jump of people parachuting jumping out of the plane and doing a group thing. And he was the last one to jump, but he was so excited about the jump that he forgot something critical. He jumped without his chute. That's a true story. It happened in Orange County. He was so caught up in every other aspect of the jump, except he didn't prepare himself for the jump himself. For us, individual preparation means getting to know Christ. We know that through the Holy Spirit, he is always with us. We are talking to him. We are praying and seeking him in our lives. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." One commentary defines that as always keeping the phone off the hook. You're always ready to talk. It means that we are always ready to listen and seek and ask whenever and wherever we are. I've said this many times, it's hard for any relationship to survive without communication. It also means reading the story, to study God's word given to us. He gave it to us for a reason. In 2 Timothy, we read, "All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Reading and studying God's word is a necessary part of the overall readiness and preparation. It's how we grow in our faith. It comes alive as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through it. But being ready also includes something else very important to the body of Christ. There will be an end. All that we are experiencing right now will come to an end. This is not a doomsday message. It is a fact given by God and emphasized through the parable that we heard today from Jesus himself. Jesus will return. A lot of complacency that the body of Christ has today is that we get tired of waiting. It's the same complacency that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had when Jesus came the first time. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus used the analogy of Noah. Just as the days of Noah, so will the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah returned and entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Life will indeed go on. We will be doing the things God has called us to do. We will marry and be given in marriage. We will do the jobs in the places God has called us to. We will shop at the stores we shop at. We will go to all the ball games, play the ball games, enjoy one another's company, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Those are great things. However, in all of those things, we need to be ready. We cannot take off our parachutes, so to speak. That goes for us as the body of believers as well. Our ministry needs to be about readiness and preparation. You see, ministry of the church is like a big circle. We go out there where evangelism takes place. We share the story of the good news of Christ. We share our story when the door is opened for us. And when Jesus walked this earth, he shared the story. And then we come together to grow. We grow through Bible studies and other study groups. We grow through youth and adult education. And then we minister to one another for our own spiritual health and well-being. We visit the sick. We pray for one another. We encourage each other in the faith. And we fellowship with one another at various times. In the process, we also reach out to those beyond our walls in service and support as the Lord leads us. All of that is a process of growing in the Lord. All of that is a part of being ready and helping others to be ready as well. And then the circle starts again as another person gives their life to Christ and comes into that circle. You know, we look at all these tragic events that we've seen in our country, or any country for that matter, where evil thoughts and evil ambitions consume an individual. We look at Sutherland Springs, Texas, and again finding ourselves asking why. No words can explain. No mind can comprehend that tragedy. As I shared Tuesday night at our prayer gathering, Jesus said it is from the heart that evil comes from. The real battle is for that which controls the heart and thus the mind. If every person on earth had the love of Christ in their heart, there'd be no war. One day it will be like that. But until then, we need to ready ourselves and help others to see the importance in that they be ready as well. In closing, I want us to look at the prayer of thanksgiving that we close every service with. And I want to challenge you in something as well. You see, we come to this table in a few minutes for a reason. To remember what Christ has done for us. To share in a communion that has wonderfully been ordained by Christ for us to share together and with him. In the prayer of thanksgiving, we remember all of that and we give thanks for that from the heart. But it doesn't just end with thanks. As we are nourished with the presence, we are admonished to do something, not to just to go home and sit and wait till next Sunday. We say these words, "And now, Father, send us out into the world." That means to be among those who are lost and hurting, to go into places that we go every day, but knowing that he is there with us wherever we are. And we say, to do the work that you have given us to do. That means to listen and keep the open line to him and to be ready for whatever he has for you. Then we say, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. That means to be that witness for Christ. A witness is somebody who's experienced that. To be his ambassador, doing what he did as the Holy Spirit opened the doors. Then we close with this. To him, Jesus, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor, glory, now and forever. And everything we do out there is to bring glory to Him who made us to go out there. What a wonderful God we serve. What a joy it is to be alive in Christ. What a journey it is to walk with Him. So I ask you today, are you ready? Is your parachute on? If Jesus were to march right down out of heaven at this very moment, what would be your reaction? Is your oil lamp filled and ready to be lit for that moment? And here's the challenge I want to give you this morning. Early in the week, Deacon Ross texted me with an idea. We all know what a prayer walk is, right? We've seen prayer walks where people will walk through a neighborhood and pray for the neighborhood. If they come in contact with somebody, ask if they need prayer. Well, her challenge is this, and it's similar, and some may be already doing this, but wherever you go, as you walk to the grocery store, as you go to the mall, as you go into a restaurant, wherever you are, pray for that place. Pray for the cashiers and waiters that are serving you. They don't need to hear it unless the door opens for that. But pray for the owner of that business. As you walk or drive through your neighborhood, if you're a jogger or a walker around your neighborhood, pray for the house that you just passed as you pass it. And for those people in those houses, what do we pray? Well, pray that their hearts would be open to the Lord. Pray that they would have their ears to hear, have ears to hear the gospel whenever it's presented to them. Because trust me, if God is working on every heart, at some point they're going to hear it from somebody. And if the Lord does open a door to share something, share it. The other day, Debbie and I were in a restaurant, and it was one of the shift managers who just became a shift manager came up and started talking to us. And I knew in my heart something was different about this guy. And so I simply asked, you know the Lord, don't you? And he said, he has such a sweet spirit about him. And he said, yes, but he's been going through some issues in his life. And I know that's a door open for the next time to go to start discipling this guy in a restaurant. Just by talking with him and sharing with him the good news and knowing that the Lord loves him and has his hand on him. You see, the Lord can use you anytime, any place, if you are ready and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. I know that that was a God encounter for that moment. But the challenge is that between now and January 1, that we all take an honest effort to pray for people and places that we come in contact with every single day of our lives, wherever you are. And again, it doesn't have to be audible. Just pray for them. But in all that we do, stay ready. Read, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily with His presence. And if He has something that you want to, He needs to let you say to somebody, say it. Listen to Him and be used by Him. We serve a wonderful God who has so much, and it's a real journey, a real joy to do those kinds of things and allow the Lord to work through you wherever you are. So I want to encourage you to take the challenge and pray. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have opened doors for us in ways we can't even imagine. So Father, I ask that you would use each of us as we reach out into this community, as we reach out to do your bidding wherever we are. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would work wonders through all who reach out to you, Lord God, that we might win this community, Lord God, that they will just come to see the reality of who you are as we pray, as we seek, as we share your word with others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.